Welcome to Honey Roast, a wholesome hope punk podcast where every other week, guest stars roast a creator that they love and are inspired by. Together, we're bringing a little more love and hope in the world and introducing listeners to new creators through sweetness and delight. A major thank you to our Indiegogo producers who helped make this show a reality. Robert Anderson, Robert Vandemotter, Alex Hensley, Kyle Decker, Richard Kreutz-Landry, and Ryan Bolter.
Then I like kept getting stuck on Max, and I was like, oh, I think it's gotta be Max. Like, he has just influenced so much of what I do in so many ways.
This is Honey Roast.
And as I'm growing and developing, I'm embracing and listening to more creators who are not white guys, but for that, like, for the critical moment where I am right now in my life, only being 23 years old, he has been the key player in that.
I'm Tess, and I'm your host.
Hello, Ponders.
Hello, Tess. How's it going?
Ah, so good. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
I am also very excited to be on the show. Honey roasting is one of my absolute favorite things to do on the internet, and I am so excited to be on a podcast where honey roasting is the name of the game.
It is, and you are such an expert at it. Why don't you tell me who you're roasting?
Yeah, so I jumped back and forth between a number of different creators and trying to decide based on a bunch of factors, and I eventually settled upon Max Temkin.
Max Temkin is a designer from Chicago, Illinois. He makes the games Cards Against Humanity, Secret Hitler, and Humans vs. Zombies. He's also the co-host of the podcast Due by Friday, but Ponders is about to tell us a little bit more about him.
For most people, they probably know Max as one of the creators of Cards Against Humanity, the popular card game where you make really inappropriate jokes and then have to explain them to your parents. But for me, Max is also the creator of Secret Hitler, one of my favorite board games, as well as one of the co-hosts on a podcast I really, really love, Due by Friday, which is a ostensible, or I guess nominally, challenge podcast. But it's Max Temkin, Alex Cox, and Relan Mann. Every week they give themselves a challenge, and then they spend a lot of time talking about the news and culture and technology, and then sometimes get around to talking about the challenge. But it's a podcast that's very important to me, and actually currently my favorite podcast to listen to. So,
what piece of his work did you encounter first?
Well, this is why I actually decided to pick Max. Was I didn't know Max for many of the times that I was like interacting with his creations. So one of the reasons why I picked Max's work is because what's so interesting about a game designer is that you can interact with their work over and over again and not know that it's happening. So a lot of my interaction with the things that Max has worked on have been where I didn't know that his name was associated to it until I became a fan of him through the podcast and heard him talk about these things. In high school, my high school actually did a game of Humans versus Zombies. Have you ever played Humans versus Zombies, Tess?
I feel like I may have played a version of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like paintball with Nerf guns and meets like laser tag. And there's a couple of other elements that get worked into Humans vs. Zombies, but essentially it's a way of being able to play a game where you have a group of humans and you have a group of zombies, and the zombies can turn the humans, and then it's about trying to be the survivor. You can play it in a short amount of time. It's usually like a 45 minute to an hour long game, and you can play it in any confined space. And so in college, Max and his friends actually came up with Humans versus Zombies as a concept. They wrote it up, they put it on the internet, and it got disseminated. And this was the first game, as far as I know, from my understanding of Max, the first game that he put out into the world. And at my high school, we played Humans versus Zombies, and we had a whole match of it twice a year, actually. It became so popular that the school let us take over the whole building. It used to be an old church, like an old Presbyterian church, so not like neo-Gothic architecture, very modernist architecture. With a giant performing arts center, classrooms everywhere, and this was our battleground for the zombie apocalypse. And I played that multiple times, had no idea that this was the work of Max Tuckett, right? Cue some New Year's Eve party a few months later, still in high school, almost certainly, but someone says, oh, there's this game, have you played it? It's called Cards Against Humanity. And we're all, you know, babbies in high school and don't really know exactly what all of the cards mean, but some of them are funny even if we don't know what they are. And those of us who are curious and had a better sense of how powerful Google was at the time were looking up what the cards meant on our iPhone 3Gs. But this was another instance of like this game where the whole prerogative of the game is to make someone laugh. It's to create the most absurd joke you can, based on things that are inappropriate, based on things that are non sequiturs. It takes the ideas of apples to apples and magnifies them to create a more intense social situation for the people playing the game. And so then, cut a few years later again, I'm in college and I'd gotten into podcasts, and I think it started with YouTube and CGP Grey, and then CGP Grey led to his podcast Hello Internet, which led to his other podcast Cortex, and Cortex is co-hosted by Mike Hurley, and Mike Hurley had a show. He had a couple of different shows, but he had one show where he interviewed a bunch of guests, and one of those guests was Merlin Mann, and I instantly fell in love with Merlin and started listening to this whole cavalcade of tech podcast shows. And this one month, December of 2016, right after Donald Trump had been elected, all of these podcasters who I loved were talking about how Dubai Friday was their new favorite show. And at that point, it had only had a handful of episodes, and Merlin was in it, and so I was in it for that. And as I started to listen to this show, I really became a fan of Max and the way that Max talks about the world and the way that he thinks critically about the world. And he is the kind of person who is always studying, always learning, always wants to get more information so that he can form some kind of opinion and have some kind of interesting thing to say about everything that may be presented to him. And it really comes across in the show, and I'm really a fan of that. And then during the time that they were working on the show, they released this game called Secret Hitler, in which you have a group of people sitting in a room, and two of them get assigned the role of Nazis, and the rest of you are not Nazis. And you don't know who's a Nazi and who's not, except for by voting on diplomacy and trying to get things passed that do not further the Nazi agenda. And within this game, actually, Tess, have you ever played Werewolf?
I have, yes. I've played Werewolf.
Yeah, so Werewolf, it's the exact same concept as Werewolf, except for it really takes on the political element in the forefront. It really puts that at the front. And actually what Max and the Cards Against Humanity team did was ship copies of Secret Hitler to every single senator, essentially saying, hey, fascism tends to rise up in these situations, and you have no way of knowing who around you is a fascist and who is not, except for by asking them what their policies are and really getting to know them, and you need to be vigilant about this. And this was sent out to all of the senators as Donald Trump was ascending into presidency, which is a pretty great move. There's two other things that I want to point out that Max has done. Well, actually, there's three other things I want to point out that Max has done, because I'm a really big fan of all of them. One of them is another podcast called Unintended Consequences, and it's actually how I discovered Patrick Rothfuss, who does the Name of the Wind book, King Killer Chronicles, which theoretically will be a trilogy if the third book is ever released. Max did a podcast with Pat, and unfortunately, the first two seasons have been deleted, and all that's on the feed right now is the first episode of the third season, which is theoretically currently happening, but isn't really happening right now. But when you could listen to that show, getting to hear Max, who is incredibly politically astute and game theoretically astute, talk to Patrick Rothfuss, who is incredibly storytelling and world building astute, was an absolutely incredible. I learned so much from that podcast. It really affected how I became a creator and how I wrote the things that I wanted to write. So that's three from the end. Two from the end is actually Max worked on the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Barack Obama campaign, and he does a lot of political activism work because he cares so much and because he's always working on these things. Of recent, he's been doing, or maybe he was doing more so before the midterms, he was doing every Thursday night, he would stream a game with a congressperson or with a person in an incumbent seat that he thought could get more of a benefit by being able to speak to more people. And so he and his friends would play a game and the senator would come on and talk about their platform and talk about their politics every couple of minutes. So he does a lot of like really good political activism stuff. And then all of that ties into the Cards Against Humanity Christmas every year. Are you familiar with any of the stuff? Yeah. It's pretty infamous. It's one of the things I love the most about the company. One year they did the a literal piece of crap is what it was, and people literally got sent a piece of crap. Last year they did Cards Against Humanity Saves America, which was a 6-day project. One of the days they purchased a bunch of land on the border wall with something like 20,000 people as leasees on this, so that if the United States wanted to take that area from the border, they would have to file something like 20,000 injunctions.
Oh my god, I love that.
It's really good.
Yeah, that's very good.
Then they had one day where it was redistributing all the wealth. So when you bought your Cards Against Humanity Saves America pack, you entered in what your income was, and the top 10%, or the bottom 10% of the people who had bought the Cards Against Humanity Saves America pack got $1,000. The middle 90% got their money back, and the top 10% got an extra Cards Against Humanity card and a letter thanking them for being one of the wealthiest people who had purchased one of these. They had a whole day that was dedicated to purchasing school supplies for teachers that didn't have school supplies. They launched a podcast called the Good News Podcast, which is a daily podcast. Actually, it's still going, but now I think it's looking for its own funding through Patreon, so go do that because it's a great podcast where it's good news every single morning. And then the best part was on the very last day of Cards Against Humanity Saves America last year, they bought a baseball diamond in Joliet, Illinois for the Joliet Slammers, and they renamed it the Cards Against Humanity Baseball Place, which is amazing. And it's on my bucket list to go to Joliet, Illinois and watch a baseball game with the Slammers at the Cards Against Humanity Baseball Place. And then this year they had the 99% off sale where they sold things for literally 99% off that you wouldn't want to sell for 99% off. They had, like, you could get $100 for 99% off. And they had these like flash sales that were going on throughout the day. You had to be the first one to get it. And they had like limited quantities of everything, and very, very good thing. So I have encountered a lot of this creator's work, and I don't think I spoke as much about why Do By Friday is so important to me.
I would love for you to tell me why it's so important to you.
There's three parts to this, which is that I know it's easy to look at podcasts and kind of think, okay, we need our Justin, our Travis, and our Griffin, right? That there are these three roles that everybody can kind of see and put people into. But there's actually three very distinct personalities on Do By Friday that are like really important to me. Merlin is, I think, going on 50 right now. He's up there in age with relationship to his co-hosts, who are both in their late 20s. And so he kind of represents this more generationed view at things and is always drawing things back and kind of poking fun at the millenniums and providing his seasoned opinion on things. Alex has a very sort of unsure nature, which I don't throw around as like an insult or a criticism. I actually think the fact that Alex presents a sort of, you know, I'm not sure how the world works and I'm still kind of figuring it out, is really critical to the show. And Max gets to play this character that is almost foolhardily ready to talk about anything and wants to express an opinion about everything, and regularly like gets egg on his face when it's shown that, you know, the way that he's looking at the world is a little bit ridiculous. And around the time that the show had started, I was only like a month out of the beginning of it, was, as I mentioned, right after Donald Trump had been elected. And it was a time in my life where I was better starting to understand how the world worked and how politics worked specifically. And prior to that, I had spent much of my life being much more on the conservative side of the fence, because of my upbringing, because of my parents, because of my grandparents, because of the place that I had lived. And I still have a very vivid memory of that night. And I was on duty at my college when Trump was elected, and I had to stay up until they called the result, which was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I remember watching people cry and listening to my friends who were, you know, now legitimately worried that their parents were going to get deported or this, that, and the other. And I really was shaken up by it and shaken up by how other people were shaken up by it. And I didn't really know what to do or where to go. And similarly, at that point in my life, I was in just not the best place in terms of relationships. I was near the end of my school, my end of my college, didn't really know where I was going next. And I was able to incorporate the Due by Friday schedule of every Friday into my life. And it's actually one of the few podcasts that I will basically drop everything and start listening when it gets released. And I listen to it every week. I've never fallen behind. I never get into a backlog, because that is the anchor around which most of my life currently works. I will let other podcasts slide into the dirt and take a hard backseat when I need to do other things. But Due by Friday will always hold a very special place for me. And it's also just incredibly funny. They are such a good group of people, and the jokes that they get into, while not always clean, are absolutely hilarious.
Since I didn't even know Max Temkin by name until this roast with Ponders, I was really intrigued to listen to Due by Friday. This has quickly become one of my go-to shows for my commute. With 127 episodes, however, I was a little bit overwhelmed by the backlog, but also very glad that with Ponders' description, I didn't have to listen to all of it. I instead opted for going back 10 episodes. The casual conversation coupled with the camaraderie of the hosts makes for perfect relaxed listening. While largely unstructured, the discussion of the weekly challenge expand into these freeform, charming conversations where the hosts' personalities really shine through. And I feel like, for the most part, no one host is dominating the show. They seem to genuinely care about each other's discussion points and stories, and they make room for each other by asking good questions and encouraging more depth to the conversation. It never feels like a host is just waiting their turn to talk, but rather that they are actively listening and wanting to participate in what the others have to say.
Yeah, that is my going on 14-minute answer to how did I first encounter the creator's work.
I love that, though. It sounds like Max has really shaped an important part of your personal growth and how you view the world, and I think that's a really an important thing to acknowledge, is the impact that certain creators can have on us.
It's clear to me that Max has had such a specific impact on Ponders' life, but I get the impression that we're not quite ready to jump into that just yet. So instead, I switch up my normal format and ask them, what about Max's work is so important to the everyday person?
The thing about Max's work that I really want to point, I mean, there's a lot of things that I can say for this, right? I know a lot of people who get a lot of joy out of games like Cards Against Humanity. For some people, Cards Against Humanity is like the subversive way that they are able to actually engage with parts of a culture that they may not otherwise be allowed to due to their circumstances. As the game has gone on, I think the initial like run of the game is fairly not PC in a lot of ways. And since then they've brought on, like, they have now a LGBTQ plus pack, they have a drama pack, they have a dad pack, they have a Jewish pack, they have all these sorts of additional like bonuses that you can add onto the game, and it's just made the game better. So I think there's a lot of ways in which these games or these podcasts bring joy to people. I feel like that's kind of the easy answer to what makes this work important for everyone. But there's something more for me that I really want to point out about Max's work, which is that in everything that Max has done, the focus of the project is our relationship to one another to survive and to thrive. And I didn't put all of this together, you know, the first time that I took in any of this. I didn't really get that this was the guiding thesis or why all these things had been placed in front of me. But when you start to look at each one of these things, Humans vs. Zombies is about being able to survive and being able to work together and understanding specifically when it seems like everybody is falling into this method of thinking or into this pattern of being zombies, how do you continue? How do you keep fighting through that? Which very clearly to me now is a political metaphor as much as it is just a fun way of playing a game. Cards Against Humanity is about slowly eroding the barriers between you and the people around you into, you know, it's the when you play the card that's incredibly inappropriate and someone goes, how could you? You're so innocent. How could you play that card? But that erosion of the boundaries then makes you have to keep playing and have to keep having that relationship with that person, despite the rules shifting and the way that the game works changing. Secret Hitler does the same sort of thing, except for with the way that we interact with other people and not knowing their motives, not knowing what they are actually trying to accomplish. With Humans versus Zombies, it's easy because you have people who are zombies and people who are humans. It's very black and white. With Cards Against Humanity, we all know what the motive is. The motive is to make the person laugh. We just don't know to what extreme a person will go to do that. With Secret Hitler, we don't know what a person's motive is. We all know what we're doing. We all know the rules of the game. We just don't know what any one person's win state is in that game. And then even looking at the way that they do their Christmas projects is about taking the way that capitalism works, specifically around the time of Black Friday, and subverting it and twisting it and making it about eroding your expectations of what Black Friday means and what your interaction with money on Black Friday is supposed to be, right? And then even in the podcasts, like the conversation that often surrounds this podcast, which is, again, ostensibly about challenges and about pushing yourself to try new things and about talking to your friends about trying those new things, oftentimes centers around the way in which the world is challenging you and the way that, you know, you don't really get a say in what dumb shit the president tweeted this week. You don't really get a say in what crazy congressperson did blackface this week, and you just have to learn how to deal with those things and make the most of that situation and find joy and push on. And also find ways to be rebellious when rebellion is needed. I mean, if it's sounding like this is the person who taught me what Hope Punk is, it's because this is the person who taught me what Hope Punk is without ever explicitly saying the word Hope Punk. So I think there are lessons to be gained in Max's work for everyone, whether they know that they're getting those lessons or not. And if it means it's a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down, I think what's so brilliant about the games is that the sugar is so well designed. I mean, I can go on for ages about all of Max's work in terms of like how it's beautifully designed, how whenever I think about marketing a thing, my first thought is, well, okay, how would Cards Against Humanity market it, right? Like, they go to conferences or they go to, like, board game conventions and they have a booth with, like, a black sign with white text on it that says the stupidest thing that catches you and makes you want to go over and read it. And so when I was at PodCon, I made a sign that was a red sign with white text on it that said podcasts about gay history, roller coasters, art, and failure. And that is, like, a phrase that draws people in, and it's the kind of thing that subverts your expectation of what you're gonna see on a sign in a convention. And being able to design a world that throws people off guard and design a world that asks people to move into a survival instinct or move into a thriving instinct is such a brilliant move that Max executes perfectly every single time on every single project that he is a part of. Why I think Cards Against Humanity will probably be Max's most famous project, and probably for good reason, is that you get all of these elements start to be coming into one, right? Is that you are dealing with the news as it's thrown at you and the challenges of the world with comedy. You don't really know people's win states because you need to know how to make a certain person laugh. The table slowly falls further and further into playing the more inappropriate cards and feeling more comfortable in it. And it's just like Humans versus Zombies, where are you the last one playing wholesome cards? Because you're probably going to need to not do that so that you can win the game.
So I had played Cards Against Humanity on countless occasions before. At least in my generation, it's hard to find friends that haven't played it. I never even knew the names of the designers of Cards Against Humanity before this conversation, but I even introduced my own parents to it, triggering many ridiculous and frankly graceless conversations. Condors does talk a lot about how Max's design makes you evaluate your own humanity, and the thing I actually found that I loved about Cards Against Humanity is how it made me realize that my parents are human too. I was legitimately, in my young and naive years, surprised when my parents not only knew what more of the cards meant than I expected, but also tended to have a funny story from when or how they learned what it was. It was an unexpected and delightful addition to playing this rather socially inappropriate game.
But there's this thing that I've become aware of recently, and I've been trying to do it in specific ways myself, but when you throw someone off with something that they are not expecting, they will either fall back on passion or humor. And this is what I'm talking about with surviving or thriving. They're either going to find a way to make it funny and make it an experience that they can push through with jokes, or they're going to find a way to connect it back to a thing that they care about more than anything else. When I first was trying out a podcast project, it was with V. Silverman, and we had this question, which is, if you could conquer any industry with a gladiatorial style takedown, which industry would it be? And when we were at PodCon, we would ask everybody this question and see what their answer was. And everybody either went to an industry that they cared deeply about and that they really wanted to be a part of, or to something absolutely humorous. Justin McElroy said popcorn and decided to fight Orville Rettenbacher. Other people wanted to fight in like the literary industry and pick a genre of literature. We had someone fighting John Steinbeck on a ship. And it's something that I picked up from Max, is being able to throw people off guard and get them vulnerable allows you to get to them where they're human. And it's a kind of vulnerability that you have to be careful with. Like, I also realize in talking about Max that Cards Against Humanity can get a lot of flack.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Some of those cards are not PC, right? They get you vulnerable, and then they don't necessarily treat you with kindness through that vulnerability. And, you know, listening to the podcast, there are even moments where I say, like, yeah, you know, Max just said something that I wholly disagree with. But it's throwing someone off guard, getting them vulnerable, and then giving them a space to find their own humanity inside of that vulnerability is such a masterstroke. And it's what I absolutely love about Max's work. And Cards Against Humanity is also one of those games where no one really wins.
No.
Everyone walks away with egg on their face in some way. And that's, it's a perfect game for helping to break down the social barriers that we set up that are sometimes not set up there to actually protect us. They are set up there because we have a sense that putting them up will keep us safe. When in fact they're preventing us from really exploring what it means to be human.
Yeah. We had talked for a while about the importance and value of Max's work to anyone and everyone, but I wanted to get more into why it was so personal to Ponders and what led him to pick Max to roast in the first place. I asked him about that and why it matters to him that people know Max's work.
I mean, I've talked enough about, like, probably in between the two questions, there's enough in there about, like, why this stuff matters to me. But really, truly, like, this work asks questions that I really, really want people to ask themselves. Be it in the podcast, be it in the games, be it even in the political work. There was just a moment in one of the podcasts where he was talking about, like, the most important thing is not the presidential election. The most important thing is, like, who's running your local library, right? Who's running for school board? Who's going to make a difference in the town that you live in?
Yeah.
That's where a lot of, like, conservative politics focuses, and look where it gets them. It, you know, they do tons of policy work in the small towns. And he just said, pick a race in your area and stick with it. And I did this. I found a race in Massachusetts and I supported the campaign and I canvassed for it. And it was a small school board race, and it mattered. And it meant a lot to me to be a part of that. And I really think that there's a lot of value, specifically that my generation can get out of thinking about the world through the lens of these questions that are being posed by Max. I guess why it's important to me is why it's important for everyone, is why it's important for me, is why it's important for everyone. These two things kind of converge around each other. But this work really makes me a better person. And that, I think, is something that good creative work should do. And it just, yeah. I don't really have more words for it than the fact that it makes me a better person, and not a lot of the media that we necessarily consume does.
Yeah.
Especially when we get into the world of podcasts, where it's so easy to binge listen to 100 podcasts and to just push your way through all of the lists and try to listen to everything. And not everything out there is a podcast made to make you a better person. Like, I know this is controversial to say, but not every podcast is good. And that doesn't mean it's not worth listening to podcasts that don't challenge you or throw you off guard or make you vulnerable, but you really should find that podcast that makes you feel like, I really wish I could be better.
Yeah, I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
If you were to suddenly be sitting across from Max having a coffee with him, what do you think you would say to him, or what would you want to talk to him about?
Well, for one, just from listening to the podcast, I know that if I were to say any kind of compliment to him, it would probably be met with a little bit of awkwardness. But I would start the way that I would want to meet whenever I meet anybody who I care about their work. I would thank them for the work that they do. And then I would really, really just love to talk to Max about what's happening in the news. Or maybe I would love to sit down and play a board game with him. Doesn't have to be one of his board games. Just sit down in a coffee shop and play Carcassonne. How's that? Where we're just sitting there flipping over tiles and talking about what's going on in the news. And that would be a sort of brilliant little moment to share with that creator. Because I think even playing games that he didn't design, we would find questions that would make me question my humanity. And I really would enjoy that a lot.
I love that. That's perfect.
Max Temkin is a phenomenally talented game designer and a person whose conversations make you think and question the state of things. You can find him at maxistentialism.com. That's maxistentialism.com. Links to his website, Twitter, and Due by Friday are in the show notes.
Oh wow, gosh, excuse me. Now I have to do a reverse roast on Ponders, and I am so ready for this, y'all. Ponders uses both they, them, and he, him pronouns, so that's why you'll hear me switching between them. I got to know Ponders through a Discord server well before I ever listened to their show. Ponders has one of the biggest and kindest souls I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. At the beginning of this episode, Ponders mentions that they love honey roasting. And I reply that they are an expert at it. And I wasn't lying. Ponders slid into this server with wholesome posting, kindness, and sweet words for their fellow folks. Without prompting, Ponders has started honey roasts for the entire server. They've opened their heart and given their time and beautifully poetic words to tell folks how important they are and how much they matter. Ponders does this because they really do believe in the goodness of people and the goodness of community, and they are such a shining example of what being a good community member can be. Ponders also makes one of my all-time favorite shows, a podcast called Accession. When I first started Accession, I figured I'd do it as I walked on a break at work to grab my lunch and a coffee. 2 minutes in, I was enraptured. I sat down on a park bench, pulled up the Accession website, and followed along with the show on the episode page. I didn't eat lunch that day, and nor did I get a fresh coffee. At the end of the episode, I stood up and went back to work. I did this routine for 2 weeks. Don't worry, I remembered to eat on those other breaks. So my mom is the artist in my family. I certainly am not. I appreciate beautiful art, but I don't make it. I don't critique it. I don't examine it in detail. But Ponder's show Accession has made me question art, has made me fall in love with it, has made me want to see more of it and consume it. But the number one way that I want to consume it is with Ponder's gentle, caring voice by my side, guiding me through each work. It's like listening to a storybook, where you get to see the art come alive before your eyes, only through audio. and it's something I've never experienced in the audio medium before. I adore it. Ponders is always working to lift folks up. He is thoughtful and insightful and always has sage words of advice or sweet words of encouragement for others. He's got this incredibly warm presence that invites you into the conversation and welcomes you with open arms. You can find Ponders at accession.fm, accession.fm. Links to his podcast website and Twitter are in the show notes. So, listeners, if you ever get the chance to interact with Ponders, you'll see that they are this beautiful ray of sunshine in a sometimes not so bright world. They themselves are a beautiful person, and their work is equally as wonderful. Ponders, thank you so much for being you. And Max, if you're listening, thank you so much for being such an integral part to my friend's growth and life. He is such an amazing person, and for whatever part that you've played, I thank you for inspiring him. Cheers and sweetness. Honey Roast is co-produced by Tess Cocchio and Julia Schaffini, edited by Tess Cocchio and Julia Schaffini, with sound design by Julia Schaffini. Special thanks to our creative consultant, Will Williams. Our visual design and art assets are by Mandy Corcoran, and our theme music is composed by Emily E. Mayo. All music from this episode, apart from the theme music, is by Lee Rosevere and Koresma on the Free Music Archive and licensed under a Creative Commons license. Links are in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at HoneyRoastPod. Transcripts for every episode can be found on our website, HoneyRoastPod.com. For even more Honey Roast love, check out our Patreon. By becoming a patron, you get access to bonus episodes, detailed show notes, exclusive merch, and so much more. For more details, go to Patreon.com/HoneyRoast. If you can't support us financially, another fantastic way to help the show and spread the love is to recommend us to a friend or family member. We can only grow by sharing and caring.